Welcome to Come Alive, the Living Spiritfully Guide to Thriving, where we explore the 12 permaculture principles as accessible ways to living a joyful life. We're your hosts. I'm Catherine Stilo.
And I'm Paul Galoro.
And today we're exploring design principle number 8, integrate rather than segregate. Before we jump into today's episode, Paul, our homework from episode 7, how did we do?
Okay, so there's a lot of patterns that have come up in my week, some childhood patterns, because I'm working very closely with my father. It's just him and I, and we're doing some very like strenuous labor. And so I had a lot of stuff and I can feel like these like rocks in my body, because anytime something would happen, I would tense up and I would try to just sort of release it and let it be part of the experience, which we're going to talk today and integrate rather than segregate. Another thing that I noticed too was the movement that I wanted to do this week, because I was so physical in my work, I needed my movement practice to be more gentle than usual. And I noticed that there was that part of me that was like, no, you got to do this to you know, maintain that level of strength, or do that to maintain that shape of your body. And I was just like, nah, I need to be slow, still, soft in my movement. So when we spoke last week about, you know, look at your movement and do you actually enjoy it? Yeah, I enjoy all types of movements, but it's at what point do I need it?
That is some deep exploration.
Yeah. What about you?
I had a really interesting body experience. So something is going on with my right heel, and I don't know how to explain it. It's in the fascia of the right heel. And when I do certain movements, it feels almost like electric through the fascia. And it feels like it's very tight. Like it almost feels like the fascia is stretched too much over my heel. So The observation that I had, so instead of, you know, reaching for something to numb that sensation to make it go away, instead I kind of explored it and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I was asking myself the questions, is this my like Achilles heel? What is my Achilles heel? Has that Achilles heel, which represents something, you know, challenge that we're working on or a weakness, has that been triggered? Or is there some place where I'm digging my heels in? So I started that body questioning to look at that further.
Wow. Oh my goodness. I love that. And something it just made me think, our conversation today, or at least the principle that we're going to be discussing, I don't know what the conversation is going to be like, but the principle that we're discussing today, I think will work very well with, you know, your everything that you're experiencing right now, as with everything that I'm experiencing too. I'm really excited for this principle to discuss.
I'm also inspired. This time of year is amazing to go out and look at, because everything's coming up. So you can see the patterns emerging. So like fiddleheads coming up are that spiral, and even the flowers that open up, the trilliums you talked about, there's that pattern to a trillium. There's patterns to the dandelions that are coming up. We had been talking about dandelions before we started this conversation. And there's just taking the moment to look at the pattern about how things grow and emerge is just incredibly energizing, insightful, gives inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? This time of year is amazing because the change, there's so much change happening all at once. It really encourages us to make it a daily promise to ourselves to go out into nature. Because if you go once a week, you're going to miss so much in that week. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like even if you go every day, there's stuff that you will still miss in that period where you're not there. So This is the time to really experience that.
I had an image jump into my head as I was listening, and it's a bead of water. If we've ever seen droplets of water on a plant, like the morning dew, or droplets of water on any plant that we've watered, and seeing that that shape, and if I look through the shape, I see like things magnified or changed. And I often think, oh, I wonder if someone looked at that and thought, oh, I'm going to make a lens that magnifies because they mimic that shape. So it's that kind of thing that represents pattern to detail. Someone looked at something, got an inspiration and said, I'm going to create that because that works in that way. I'm going to take that and apply it over somewhere else and create something entirely new.
Yeah. Science.
Nature. Yeah. Nature inspiration into science.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, nature, I don't know. I'm just going to make up something right now. Isn't nature the original science? I think that is like
totally
the science. And then everything else is just an offshoot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's discuss today. Today we're talking about principle number 8, integrate rather than segregate. And you have a gorgeous Zen tale for us today.
So this is a Zen tale that's called The Other Side. And one day a young Buddhist came to the bank of a wide river. Staring at this obstacle, the Buddhist pondered for hours on how to get across this wide river. As this Buddhist was about to give up, the Buddhist saw a teacher on the other side, a great teacher on the other side of the river. And the Buddhist yelled over to the teacher, "Oh, wise one, can you tell me how to get to the other side of this river?" And the teacher pondered for a moment, looked up and down the river, and yelled back, "You are on the other side."
Oh, this is a nice one. I want to see how it plays out. Though let's talk about this principle today of integrate rather than segregate. What does that mean exactly?
In this principle, we look at how things work together, how things work as parts of a system, not just looking at the specific details of the individual element. And when we're looking at these principles, the first 6 principles that we've been talking about are about elements and organisms and individuals. And as we move into these last 6 principles, these are more about the top-down patterns and relationships that emerge as the elements and individual items in the system comes together and self-organizes. So these 6 principles help us to make sense of what we're seeing and then take that as a whole, integrate that and bring it over to other situations, to scale it up, to scale it down, to apply it to the rest of our lives.
This is really interesting for me because the way you just described it as like the first 6 are sort of along with the individual and the last 6 are more about the collective. It makes me think about the yamas and niyamas. For our listeners that are unfamiliar with the yamas and niyamas, they're sort of guidelines for living a yogic life, we can say. And there's the yamas are more of the social ethics, so how we interact with the world around us. And the niyamas are personal observances or ethics, if you want to call them, and how we interact with ourselves. So I'm so excited because now it's like even clicking more for me.
Oh, and this is a beautiful illustration of how everything is connected and everything is integrated. We can't separate things. We see these teachings ripple throughout permaculture, throughout ethics, throughout yoga. It's the whole. These are all the whole. And it's starting to look at the importance and the complexity of the relationships and focusing on the relationship between things. It's the connections between things that are as important as those things themselves.
What you just said there about the importance and complexity of relationships really are where we do all of our soul's work.
Don't we?
Okay. Let's save that for segment 2, because I know we can, I don't know about you, but I'm already walking up the steps of this spaceship. So let's stay here on Earth so we can dive a little bit deeper into what this means from a permaculture perspective.
Oh yeah, we'll have great conversations with the spiritual gym of relationships in our second half. When we look at how things have emerged in our society, in our culture, we're often focusing on the complexity of detail rather than the complexity of relationships. And I think that this may have stemmed from scientific method, which separates things out, to study them in isolation, to study the details. And sometimes we create that segregation, that separation, in order to simplify. And then to simplify it so we can understand it, we lose the understanding of how things work as an integrated system. Another reason that we sometimes are programmed or trained or feel more comfortable in the segregation, like not working with this principle, we are culturally programmed to feel more comfortable in competitive relationships. And sometimes we haven't been taught how to work in cooperative and symbiotic relationships. And with integrate rather than segregate, it's saying, let's look toward harmonious design. Different types of relationships can all work, whether they're predatory, competitive, cooperative, symbiotic, they can all work as part of a system. The shift in focus is to let's look at what's mutually beneficial and symbiotic and work toward harmony in the system.
Oh my God. Okay. That, like, you're speaking to my heart right now and everything that I hope the world can one day be. I love this, but I need some examples. How does this principle look in action?
This principle is saying, look at the relationships as a whole, not just the individual pieces, and design to benefit from these relationships, design to benefit from the harmony, the symbiosis. So what does this look like? On a very grand scale, if we think of industrial agriculture and how things are set up, if anybody's driven by wheat fields or corn fields, these are monocrops, monocultures. So these are segregated, specialized, and it was working at one point, I guess. I think, because I always believe that things were created for good reason. There was a good reason to do this. It was making things simpler. It could be specialized. And then what happens is as we go along, we start to realize, whoa, wait a minute, this isn't working because we're missing those elements that are in relation. There was something about the relationships that we didn't understand. And then it starts to, I almost describe it as a Frankenstein's monster. It becomes something that it was never intended to be. And it actually becomes destructive. So these industrial agriculture, these monocrops are depleting the soil, creating deserts, because when that was separated out from the entire ecosystem, then there was something about the relationships that was missed, and then the system started to break down. So instead of industrial agriculture, plant polycultures, which are guilds of plants that work together. So we've talked about Joel Salatin and some of the principles that he has. He has a whole system that is working together. And sometimes we get into discussions about animals in the system. And I know there's differing views about use of animals. And I just want to make a clarification that animals in a system is not bad if it's set up in the right way. Factory farming, the things that we see happening down in the States, where we see those concentrated animal feedlots, where it's just one type of animal living in quarters that are confined, that is an example of the segregation. It's been separated away from the whole system. And yes, that creates a lot of challenges and concerns and things that actually destroy the system. When we integrate, so when those animals are allowed to be their animalness in the system, the way that Joel has set his system up, polyface farms with polycultures, everything has its individual role and it's set up to be beneficial as part of the whole, then we start seeing this start to change. Then we start seeing the principle of integrate rather than segregate applied, and we see the regenerative system that is self-contained, that's growing itself rather than what we see happening when we have industrial ag or factory farm. It's a complete breakdown, destruction, erosion of the system.
I'm painting a picture in my head because I'll be, you know, starting to plant things in the ground soon for my garden. So integrate rather than segregate. Look at all of, like, look at how the tomato plant interacts with the cucumber, if they do, and set it up in a way that the cucumber helps the tomato and the tomato helps the cucumber, because then I'm going to take them and make a delicious salad anyway. So be harmonious in the garden, and then you'll be harmonious in my belly. Do you know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean. And that's so yeah. So when we were talking on the grand scale, I mean, many of us may say, well, I don't have a wheat field or a cornfield or a feedlot, so this doesn't apply to me. It does. And Paul, I love what you just brought up, because I don't know if your Nona or your parents had their backyard garden, and it was all those rows. Yes. It was rows of this thing and this thing and this thing. And it's like, okay, let's get away from that idea of a backyard garden and move to a permaculture garden. And in the permaculture garden, things are all growing together in those that we talk about, companion planting, those harmonious relationships. So tomatoes would love to be by peppers and basil, and tomatoes don't love to be by the cucumbers because they're both vines. So they both have the same, yeah. So they both have the same needs. A vine, they're a little bit different, but they're both vines. So they're going to want to be in different parts, working with their own companion plants. Mm. And beyond that, it's like not having these rows of separation where there's bare soil. It's everything. And we think of a forest again. There's no rows in the forest. Everything is growing right on top of each other. And sometimes I marvel and I think, how is this all happening? But it's all working together. Those individual elements are all getting what they need, and they're benefiting from the relationships between them. So those plants that need shade are growing under the canopy. Those plants that need sun have found their niche in the cracks in the canopy where the sunlight's coming through. And that's how we see this all working together in an integrated system. And I will say it did take a little bit of changing my thinking because I grew up with rows. Me and my parents and grandparents did gardens in rows. And I was like, well, that's all neat and tidy, and that's how you do it. But that has like bare soil between. It has so much wasted space. And so I had to kind of reprogram myself to have this new way of thinking. And it's a little bit more challenging because I do have to go looking for things. I have to think, oh, where is that? Because it's not, the kale is not all in a row. The lettuce is not all in a row. Everything's kind of interspersed. So it's a little bit of work in hunting and finding it. The benefit is, though, that if a pest or disease of these plants does come along, it's not my entire crop that's wiped out. If tomato hornworm comes along, it's not my entire tomatoes that are wiped out because they're in different places that may not have been touched. If something comes along, especially with the brassicas, with kale, with cabbage, those things, you don't want to plant those beside each other, broccoli, you don't want to plant those beside each other because there's a pest that comes along that will decimate all of those. So separate those out and put them in other relationships that are mutually beneficial that can protect support those from, yeah. So we don't get a complete wipeout if something comes in.
What you're describing is supportive relationship.
Yes.
That's exactly. First of all, can we just sidebar for a second? I love watching you. Like, you are right now, for listeners, I'm sure you can feel it just in her voice, but you are like beaming right now as you speak about this. I'm inspired. I can feel my body tingle as I acknowledge your just the enthusiasm that's like oozing out of you right now. And it also, like, it just brings me back to this beneficial, harmonious relationship. You know, not all broccolis don't have to hang out together. You know, there is a connection, and it's okay for the broccoli to like hang out with, I don't know, whatever the broccoli's companion plant is, because they're going to support each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
That's That's how I see. And then it's also like, okay, well, what else can we bring into this? It's almost like a little garden community. What else can we bring into this community? Like you said, what tree can I bring in to act as the canopy that then those leaves are going to fall and fuel the soil when they start to break down?
That's a perfect description. Perfect description, garden community.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. And it's garden community, not only with growing food, it's the garden of our hearts. It's that community too, but I'm sure that we'll get into that very deeply.
We definitely will get there. Okay, this is so exciting. Now let's loop it back to the story.
When we think back to the story and the reply of you are on the other side, this is what's bringing us to this idea of look at the relationship between things rather than looking at somebody's on this side and somebody's on this side. It's like, well, if we say, how do I get to the other side? Depending on whose perspective we're looking from, we're already on the other side. It might be a little bit abstract at this point while we're talking about the definition from a permaculture perspective. I think that this is going to become quite clear when we get into the how this shows up in our lives and this idea of look at the relationship between things, not just the individual thing.
Right. The way I see it at this point, and we haven't discussed the second half yet, but the way I see it at this point is it's almost like we got to get a bird's eye view of the whole situation to then know what needs to be, because maybe that's not even like a river that goes very long. Maybe he just has to sort of walk down a couple of feet and he's going to find a bridge that's going to take him over onto the north side or the west side or whatever side is that. Do you know what I mean?
I totally do. And that's such a beautiful idea of the bridge. And that will come out in our second half of the conversation is find those bridges.
Okay, you know what? You and I are both itching to get there. So can we just get there? Let's take a break right now. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how we can use this principle to thrive.
Paul, you'd mentioned something about your meditation program, 40 Days of Stillness. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. And thank you for bringing that up. So what this program is, I've created it a while ago as a way to begin or deepen a daily meditation practice. So let's just back it up for a second. Why meditation? If you think about our physical practice, whether it's yoga, Pilates, HIIT training, whatever it is that we do this kind of work to strengthen our physical musculature, improve our flexibility, and work on our alignment. Meditation does the same thing, but for our attitudinal musculature. It helps us to strengthen our resilience. It helps us to create a little bit more flexibility in our mind. And it helps us to really align with essence, spirit, God, divine intelligence, whatever it is that we think of when we think of the truth of who we are. So I created this program called 40 Days of Stillness. And every day you receive a 5-minute meditation in your inbox. And all you have to do is stop, sit, and breathe as you listen to the recording, and it'll guide you through. And over the 40 days, you'll be exposed to many different types of mindfulness techniques that can really help you to strengthen the attitudinal musculature.
That sounds absolutely amazing and needed at this time. How will listeners find out about this?
So check out our show's notes because all the links and everything are in there. And I just want to add, I'm offering this program to all of our listeners at only $21. Check out the show notes. And if you have any questions, send us an email. Welcome back to Come Alive, the Living Spiritfully Guide to Thriving. We are discussing permaculture principle number 8, integrate rather than segregate. And I am just like giddy about this one. So we're talking about now how integrate rather than segregate looks in our lives. And Catherine, I just want to bring it back to something that you said earlier about science, how science, we looked at everything at the individual level. And the part that we're sort of missing is, well, how does this work with everything else? And I'm going to take that back. I don't think we're missing it. I think we're slowly getting there. What I wanted to say earlier, and this is just my observation. So when we look at everything as an individual, so like we strip, I'm going to talk about the body for a second. So we strip away all the organs and we're looking just at the liver. Just how does the liver function? What does it do? Blah, blah, blah. And then we stripped everything away and we're looking just at the kidneys. And what do they do? I think that's important. But now we're in the, so the age of data collection is done. We've collected enough data. Now it's how do we integrate that data into the relationship between all of these things? Because I know in my life, I spent, okay, so I'm tap dancing my way towards 40, and I've spent the last 40 years in my own little world. And when I say that, I say that affectionately, meaning I've been getting to know me a lot better and understanding what makes me tick and my patterns and all of that stuff. And now that I know what that is, it's like, okay, how do I relate to the rest of the world knowing this is who I am? So at what point do I know, okay, I've had too much people time, it's now alone time, or I've had too much indoor time, it's now outdoor time. And so I've played with all of that over the last bunch of years. And now it's like, how do I integrate all of that in? So I understand the importance of looking at everything singularly, but that's done. You can Google any of that. Now it's like, okay, but how do we now make it all work harmoniously together?
Because those things, so if we're talking about the, if we go back to the example of the body and looking at the liver and looking at the kidneys and things, it was important to dive deep into them to get an understanding of them. And it's just as important to look at how those are going to work in relation to the whole system, because their behavior as individual elements is going to be different than when they're hooked up and in relation to something else. It's going to change. So it's important to look at the whole. And I jump back to something that we had talked about a long time ago. I think it was one of our dinner conversations, was the question about generalist versus a specialist. And I think we were saying, we were asking which one is better. And this was the discussion. And the benefit of a specialist is the intricate details of the element, whatever it is being studied, are revealed. The importance of a generalist is to see the relationships between the whole and to be able to apply that out into other things. So this is the jumping back and forth to your point about, yes, we've done that exploration and we're taking that beautiful detailed information and now looking at, well, how does this work in relationship? Mm-hmm. How does it work in relationship and community?
See, the way I'm seeing it in my head right now is, how are my outputs beneficial for those around me? And how are the inputs, how are the outputs of those around me beneficial for my input? You know what I'm saying? It's like, how is what I'm doing beneficial for others? And how is what others are doing beneficial for me? And if it is wonderful, let's work together. Let's collaborate. Let's be harmonious. Let's, you know, change the world. Let's create something. And if it doesn't, that's okay. Maybe you're a vine and I'm a vine, and together we just in the place where we are isn't going to be beneficial for both of these vines to be together, but you can be a vine over there. I can be a vine over here. I'm still loving you. And I'm still hoping that you're getting all the right inputs and you're giving out all the right outputs, but we don't have to be together to do it. I don't know if that's anything.
It's the complexities of the relationship that are being honored and focused on, not just the individual mm-hmm. piece. Yeah. And as I was hearing that, I started to think, well, why, like, what happens? Like, how do we separate? How do we segregate? And I just think of, like, the labels and the judgments that come in. And in one of our episodes, we talked about being conscious of the power of our words. I think it was catch and store energy, being conscious of the power of our words, because that label creates a vibration. That label can then become a box. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. these labels and judgments, I'm this, I'm that, start to create these boxes of separation. This is good, this is bad. And we see this playing out. And I'm going to go to diet is a big one where diet is probably one that we can relate to, where it's I'm raw vegan. I'm vegan. I don't eat meat. I don't eat gluten. So these things are all fine. It's when we get rigid about them and then create, well, what I'm doing is good and what you're doing is bad. Mm-hmm. So that's how this separation, this segregation happens quite a bit in our lives, when really it's moving to understanding. Well, that works for me and that works for you. And sometimes what works for me doesn't even always work for me. So if I'm married to that, and I'm saying, well, I'm this, I'm not honoring the whole, I'm not looking at the way my body is changing, and maybe what I needed, maybe I did at one point need to be vegan or raw vegan. And maybe at some point my body started to change or my circumstances started to change, and that's not going to work for me anymore. So we've got to continue to look at the whole and remove the labels and judgments from things.
Mm-hmm. Well, you bring me to where I wanted to go in the spaceship when I was like racing up those steps. It comes down to integrating all aspects of the self into the self. We've been, whether we've been trained or programmed or whatever, but the truth of the matter is, in our culture, it's all about pushing away the bad and only, you know, emphasizing the good. And what we fail to understand is, and this is part of my personal work that I'm doing right now, is understanding what one would call shadow, or the darkness, or the ego, or whatever you want to call that aspect of ourselves that we tend to reject and try to segregate, right? I didn't share this with you. I'm going to share it with you now, and the rest of the world. I woke up this morning feeling weepy. I don't know what it went. Maybe I'm exhausted. I don't know, but I just woke, maybe it's Jupiter moving into Pisces. I woke up and I said, I'm feeling weepy. I'm going to bring that with me for my nature hike. I just allowed that feeling to come with me everywhere I went today because it's a part of me. I woke up feeling the need to weep. So right now, this weepy part of me is in conversation with you. And I have to say, though, by integrating that into the experience, and I'm getting tingly just talking about this, watching you, as I said earlier, watching you just beam as you were speaking about what you were speaking was like the comfort that that weepy part of me needed to now feel okay. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, this is how I see it, and I'm always seeing pictures in my mind. It's like, oh my gosh, first of all, everybody stop what you're doing right now. Pause this podcast, but please come back and go watch the movie Soul. If you haven't seen it, it's a Disney Pixar movie, and it's about these two like souls that become friends. And they're like soul friends, but like, it's hard to explain. Just watch it. It's beautiful. But what I see when it comes to the shadow self, the darkness, whatever it is that we're rejecting, it's like there's layers and layers and layers upon that that have separated from us. And so, yeah, I might feel weepy, but if I actually sit with that weepiness, what's underneath that weepiness? Well, she's a little angry about something. Okay, but what's under that anger? And sitting with the anger, it's like a Russian doll. You know, the first one, the weepiness was there. Okay, cool. I see the weep. I accept you. You're here. Great. You're integrated. Now I take that, the cover of weepiness off, and I see there's something else in there. And we just keep on stripping these layers until we get to the truth of who we are.
I got that image of, I think it's called Inside Out. Is that movie?
That's the one with the brains, the brain with the emotions.
Yes. Yeah. I got that image of Inside Out, and it's like all of these things are present and they're all okay because they all have a function and they all serve part of the whole. And it's how do we bring these together to get the best of sadness, to get the best of anger, because these things are all there and they're not good or bad. They're there for a reason. They're sensation in the heart or in the emotional body that have a message. And I also think back as I'm listening to your journey and experience, I'm thinking of my experience. And growing up, I did not have a model of how to acknowledge and deal with emotion. That wasn't something that was modeled for me or explained to me or taught in school anywhere or anything as I grew up. So I was left with the impression that if I had these emotions that weren't happy, joy, positivity, that was bad and that was to be swallowed and suppressed and pushed down. And that was how to deal with those. And so I learned that. And then I went into a conventional world. I was on a conventional path. I was in the corporate world. And the messaging that I heard there was, oh my God, like you do not have emotion there. You do not like that was emotion at the time that I was there. And from what I understood was unacceptable. It just was not, you just, again, put on that mask, that happy, positive with it face. So it was quite odd for me. I pushed this all down. And I think even as I stepped onto the spiritual path, I think I misinterpreted and these affirmations. It's like, okay, just forget that all this emotion is there and just switch it to affirmation. And hey, everything's gonna be okay. Everything's good because I'm just gonna, again, suppress these other emotions, replace it mentally with an affirmation, and then it's going to shift everything and it's going to change. And what I found happening with all of those experiences combined is it did not shift. It got masked, it got pushed down, it got suppressed, and it started expressing itself in my body. Mm-hmm. So all of these things, these symptoms, as we talked about in last episode, these messages from the body, what's the pattern, started to be like, oh, when I string these things that are happening in my body together, it's actually the suppression, the judging, the segregating, the separation of these parts of myself that I wasn't accepting. And as I started to understand and become aware and realize that don't judge these things, just let them be, explore them a little bit. And like you say, don't act from that place, just acknowledge that is there and integrate it as part of the whole. That's when things started to shift in my life. That's when things started to shift in my body. And here we are.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I think of, talking about last episode where we're like designed from pattern to details and looking at nature. I can't remember where I was. I was at some place in the world and I was walking down a neighborhood that you could tell it was old. It was an older neighborhood and they had all these beautiful thick trees. I feel like it was in Winnipeg somewhere. But anyways, there was all of these thick, big trees in this neighborhood that was it was like a city neighborhood where everything was quite tight and the houses were quite close together. And the trees were so close to the street that the roots of the trees started to grow. They were growing underneath the sidewalk, but they grew so much so that the sidewalk, which is concrete, the roots started to push the sidewalk up. So now you see the sidewalk wasn't flat. It had all these bumps in it. And I was like, good for this tree, because the tree's like, guys, I'm just here doing my thing. You happen to put this piece of cement over me. I don't know what to tell you because I just got to grow right now. And it just sort of like, that's kind of what, I don't know. It just makes me think, even if we try to cover it, that thing's still going to grow however it needs to grow. So we might as well just include it in the process, include it in the experience, and let it be. Because like I said, underneath that thing that we're stuffing down, there is a part of us that just wants to be seen, right? It wants to come to the light.
I had a moment in my yoga practice this morning. I was doing a class from Travis Elliott, and he had a quote in it that was just beautiful and so relevant to what we're talking about. And in it, he said, "Some poses you will love, some poses you will despise, some poses you will adore, some poses you will abhor. See if you can stay equanimous. See if you can transcend your likes and dislikes so you are not creating drama and story and unnecessary conflict. You're just meeting the moment and working with the moment instead of working against the moment."
Wow.
Oh, I just was thinking in my life, like, where am I creating drama and story and conflict because I'm resisting what is, or I'm trying to suppress what is? And the last line of just meet the moment and work with the moment instead of working against the moment is exactly what you described as your walk this morning. Weepiness is there. I'm going to take weepiness into my walk. And all the feelings that all the years that I had that I suppressed, it's like, what, I wonder what would have happened if I just in the moment went, oh, you know, I'm feeling a little bit angry right now, and just worked with the moment instead of the judgment, the label that anger is a bad emotion that is unacceptable. I cannot, if I'm a good person, express this because good people don't do that. I'm going to shove it inside. And then, well, like those tree roots, I'm dealing with it later because it's there. It's just going to come up because it just is. So yeah, that moment of clarity this morning was like, oh, thank you, Travis Elliott, for those words.
Oh my goodness. And that makes me think of something that comes up in A Course in Miracles is this idea of transcending the ego mind. It's like rise above in the sense that get the bird's eye view of where you are on what side of the river, where the other person is on the other side of the river. Is there a way to bridge to get to that quote other side of the river if you just zoom out a little bit and see the bigger picture and go, ah, that's what's up. Okay, cool. I'll just move around it, or I'll work with it, or use it in whatever way. That's what that quote makes me think of. And that's a wonderful way to loop it back to the story.
That's integrate rather than segregate. It's find those bridges because we're both on the other side. It's part of the whole, depending on where we're looking at it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thrivers, we want to integrate you into this conversation because I'm sure if I'm feeling it, if Catherine's feeling it, there must be something. Please let us know. Let us know your comments, your thoughts. First of all, can I just sidebar for a second? Thank you to everyone that has commented already. I just want to say a shout out to Nikki and Richard and Julie and Lily and Roberta and Joanna. We're hearing your things. We're interacting with you. Send us an email, comealivepodcast@gmail.com. Or of course, there is the Facebook group, the Living Spirit Fully Collective. All of that information is in the show notes. Catherine, how can we integrate some homework into this?
Let's look in our gardens and maybe change up the way that we plant. So if we had been doing a garden in rows, then maybe look at exploring a different version. A little bit more complex homework is look at companion. If anybody is really interested in companion planting, there's lots of resources. Just Google companion plants or what's best to plant with. Insert whatever it is that you're planting. An example, one year we did salsa pots. So we had large pots, enough that would fit a tomato. Tomato, onions, pepper, basil, they all grow well together. And if you have a container that's large enough, you grow the whole thing in a pot, you've got a salsa pot. And there's lots of these ideas on Google. So if this is something that excites you, do the work, go Google and go crazy.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I just want to add to that, because I know in some of the conversation that I've had with our Thrivers, not everyone is ready for a garden community. If you have household plants, start to think in that same direction of what works well together, what is the most beneficial for this plant, and see if you can kind of create a little indoor garden community that then thrives with each other. Maybe not planting them in the same pot, but just having them close to one another in an area that can be like an indoor garden. And then also, you know, I always love taking it a little bit deeper. What if we explored the other perspective? So if you're about to reject an idea or think, oh, that's not good, or that person has no clue, what if we said to ourselves, I'm willing to see this differently and see what happens? That's another line from A Course in Miracles. I am willing to see this differently.
And I'm going to add to that too. Our own emotions. The moment that we have an emotion that comes up that we label as, this is not what I'm supposed to have. This is not an acceptable one. This is one I'm going to bury. Stop. Look. Be with it. Don't act from it. Be with it and integrate it.
On that note, Thrivers, again, remember to join us in the Living Spirit Fully Collective Facebook group, where we can continue this discussion. Send us an email, comealivepodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. And I'm just so happy that we're all on this journey together. So thank you so very much.
Thank you so much. And remember, we're meant to thrive. How will you come alive?
Come Alive, the Living Spiritfully Guide to Thriving, is a regenerative living production in association with Pollerin Studios and The Elementals. Hey! Executive producer, Catherine Stilo. Co-producer and sound engineer, Paul DeLauro. Inspired by and dedicated to Mother Earth, our bio-intelligence and the spirit that moves through all things. A big thank you and much love to you, our community, for subscribing to and sharing this podcast.